The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Time for Capital Thinking, where we analyze the key policy, political, legal, and business issues that will shape America's future. Live from Washington, D.C., this is your unfiltered tour of the halls of power. Now, here's your host, Kevin O'Neill.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. We have a very special show today. We're going to focus our entire hour on what we do here at home for our troops and the families of our wounded warriors. We're going to spend the first half hour learning a little bit more about an organization you might think you know, but we're going to try and give you some more information on what they do and how they're helpful for our armed services, and that's the United Services Organization, or what people know as the USO. We're going to be talking with folks from the USO Metropolitan Washington office about their mission and programs. Joining us is Elaine Rogers, Bob Kaler, and Mike Nardotti. Elaine is the president and CEO of USO Metro here in Washington, D.C. She's been with USO Metro since 1976 and has helped grow them into one of the best charities here in the Washington, D.C. region. Bob Kaler is a partner in Patton Boggs' office and extensively involved with USO Metro, where he serves on their board of directors and is a past chairman. And then General Mike Nardotti is also a partner here in our Washington, D.C. office of Patton Boggs. He's a decorated combat veteran who served 28 years on active duty as both a soldier and a lawyer, including a four-year term as the Judge Advocate General. That's the senior military lawyer in the entire United States Army. And General Nardotti is also himself on the USO Metro Board of Directors. So, General Nardotti, Bob, Elaine, welcome to the show. And Elaine, as I said at the top, I think people think they know the USO, but probably don't really have a good idea of how big you are, what your history is, and what your mission is. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the history and mission of the USO of Metro Washington?
Would love to. I mean, you threw that date in there, so now we all know my age. So I was actually around when Bob Hope was still around. So the USO was founded in 1941 by President Roosevelt, and what he really did was bring six founding agencies together to kind of make up the USO. And of course, everybody thinks about Bob Hope entertaining the Ann Margarets, the Connie Stevens, and that's a big part of what the USO's history has been. But we're really so much more than that today. We still keep that history part, but we're actually going back to our roots and forming partnerships with other best-in-show nonprofits to help especially our wounded warriors, their families, and their caregivers. So it's not just that entertainment piece, but just so much more. And I, as I said, am blessed to have gotten to know Bob Hope and watched him entertaining the troops overseas and as well as here. So we still have that legacy going.
Excellent. General Nardotti or Bob, you want to add anything on the mission of the USO?
Well, I think the USO of Metropolitan Washington, or US, what we call USO Metro, is really a unique operation because we take care of the military and their families in a terrific geographic area that is around the metropolitan area. And I think Lane can talk in detail about the activities that we do for those families.
Well, let me ask Elaine. Obviously, it's a fairly unique time in recent United States history. We've got veterans returning from two conflicts abroad in Iraq and Afghanistan, and so I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how the focus has changed through the years, and what do you see as some of the current needs of our military that USO Metro is trying to serve?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to actually when I first started with the USO in 1976, and we forget, obviously, Bob and Mike don't, but we had really gone from, you know, a draft to now an all-volunteer force back then. And at that time, you know, it really, Mike, it was one of those, if we wanted you to have a family, we'd have issued you one, right? That was one of the things. And now most of our military forces are married and they have families. So our mission really changed back when we went from, you know, draft to all-volunteer force. And we started here in the metropolitan area in Washington doing family services to meet those needs. And we've been continuing that in many different ways. Like, who would think that the USO has an emergency housing program? We have close to 30 apartment units in the metropolitan area. And if we have a young enlisted families that is in a crisis situation, we can put them up free of charge for 2 months in fully furnished apartment units. And nobody really thinks about the USO as doing that. But I think what the really important thing is, especially today, is that we're not just going out as the USO and creating programs and doing things that we think are needed. We have an incredible history with the military. We have a phenomenal partnership. So the needs that are being met by the USO are really those needs that the military are bringing to us and saying, hey, we really need to have help in these areas. And, you know, Bob, as we're facing all of the things that are happening and the cuts from the budgets within the military, the Army Community Services, Navy Family Services, all of those organizations within the military are really seeing their budgets cut. And so they're asking the USO to really, you know, take on those missions. And what we have just launched, actually, is the largest project the USO has ever taken on since its inception. We have, with our national organization, partnered and have built two new USOs to really meet the needs of our wounded warriors and their families and caregivers. So we just opened a 25,000 square foot USO on Fort Belvoir, where a lot of our wounded warriors, wounded, ill, and injured are. And we are in the process of building an 18,000 square foot USO on the new Walter Reed Bethesda. So this is a big, big change for the organization. And it's just been a phenomenal opportunity. Again, we're bringing best in show organizations in to really help us accomplish the mission.
Interesting. Elaine, I want to certainly come back to that Wounded Warrior stuff in just a minute, but I want to ask you to talk a little bit about some of the other maybe signature events you do, Operation Back to School, Turkey for Troops, Deployed Family Fun Day. Walk us through some of those things that you all do.
Well, one of the, because there's so, Washington is one of the highest areas where military live. I mean, the highest numbers of military personnel and their families. We have over 500,000 military families that live here, and then hundreds of thousands that transit in and out of our airports here going overseas. If you're in the military and you're on a charter flight, you must come to BWI Airport to catch that charter flight. So because of this population, and many of them don't live on the installation, so there are real financial issues. So back to school program, when you think about how many military kids are here, we get corporations to help support us, and we'll actually make about 2,000 back to school packs that we give out to the children of young enlisted military folks, the kids that are going back to school. Our turkeys for our troops and our ELF program, oh my gosh, they are so cool. The ELF program, we actually get individuals and corporations to adopt military families. Not literally, of course, the kids in the families. And we actually do this on a one-to-one basis. We have children of the military signing up through the senior enlisted advisors, and then we get what they, as an example, at the holidays time, what gifts they want. And then we link them up actually with an individual who buys those gifts. And so at all of our different centers, of which we have about 14 in the metropolitan area, we have one day where the parents come to get all of these gifts. And I'm just going to give you one example of a young single mom who actually worked at Fort Belvoir Hospital. And she came in to get her gifts for her kids. And as I was standing there talking to her, she's like, oh, I said, what are you going to do this weekend? And she said, well, we were going to get a Christmas tree, but I just don't have enough, you know, money in the bank right now to do that. I said, no problem. We have a Christmas tree program, and we had an organization there. one of our corporations who sponsored military families going to a Christmas tree farm. They spent the whole day there free, and then they got to cut down their Christmas tree and also take decorations for the tree home. So we're really trying to do programs that are oriented to those families, but of course never forgetting the single troops, and we have tons of programs for them also.
Very good. Well, General Nardotti and Bob, I want to bring you guys in as members of the USO Metro Board to talk a little bit about it from the perspective. You obviously spend a lot of time with these families who are impacted, and General Nardotti, having been in active duty for nearly three decades, you know well how folks rely on the USO for these services. Will you talk to us a little bit about that?
Certainly. I think that I can't underscore enough what Elaine said previously about where the Army has come in the last 30 to 40 years. And even though the Army recognized once they had the challenge in front of them that they had to start paying closer attention to families, they put a lot of effort into that. But the truth is that the services, all of the military services, can't do everything that the families need. And the USO has filled a very critical gap in providing services above and beyond what the military services can provide. So that's been extraordinarily important. The other thing I'd like to mention is I think what you get some of this in the way Elaine has explained the programs to you, but if you were to see her in action, you would be very, very impressed. What has impressed me about Elaine, I don't think I've ever seen a person in this kind of position have the sustained level of energy that she has had in pursuing new initiatives and anything that will support the troops and their families. And she's a real lesson in leadership, because if you see how she is able to operate, she is a known quantity at the highest levels in the Pentagon. She's got access throughout the building, the senior leaders of the services, not just the officer leaders, but the enlisted leaders know her personally. She obviously has great influence with a number of corporate organizations, and she's convinced them to ante up, basically, and make significant contributions. But on the other end, she's also, she's a real people person. This organization could not possibly run but with the number of employees it has to rely very heavily on volunteers, and to get volunteers and to make them feel good about what they're doing and keep them, energized in the way that she is also a great leadership challenge, and she does all of that. So a lot of these successes that these programs that you see, she's got a great staff and a lot of people with great ideas, but if you didn't have somebody at the helm who was able to drive home all of these, the significance of what's going on, it would not be nearly as successful. And as Elaine has talked to you, you can see that they're looking into the future. They're anticipating what's coming down the road. They have done that over a course of years to adjust their efforts to make sure that they're meeting needs that are currently the priority needs. It's going to be even more important as the services face budget cuts, because some of the programs, unfortunately, they're going to be family programs that are not going to get the support, the money that they've had previously. And a lot of soldier support programs are going to be difficult to maintain in the way they have. So organizations like the USO are just extraordinarily important, and we're really fortunate. I feel blessed to be a member of the board, have the opportunity to serve on an organization of this significance to our troops, and to have a leader like Elaine really guiding steering the ship.
Well, that's a good place for us to. We're going to take a commercial break. Before we do, though, if you're looking for something, hit usometro.org during the commercial break. Learn a little bit more. We're going to be back to talk some more about what U.S. Metro does for our wounded warriors right after this here on Capital Thinking.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
The same firm that's been navigating the government maze for more than four decades is also the same firm that can help you protect your most important assets. Whether it's a valuable patent, an important copyright, or your next big idea, Patton Boggs is committed to protecting your intellectual property.
Edward Newberry, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad.
Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
If you find yourself under the Klieg lights of a government investigation, you want experience on your side. Patton Boggs has 46 years of it. We've handled some of the biggest white-collar crime cases. Put that experience to work for you.
Edward Newberry, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Hear ye, hear ye. The House will come to order.
Having trouble sorting out what's going on Capitol Hill? Patton Boggs can cut through it all. We've got the insight, the know-how, the connections to navigate. Patton Boggs. Straight, unfiltered. Patton Boggs, a bipartisan voice with knowledge and 46 years of experience.
Edward Newberry, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Live from Washington, it's Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. Join us on the program and weigh in on the topics discussed with your question or comment. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also direct your questions or comments via email to koneill@pattonboggs.com. That's koneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at pattonboggs.com. Now, back to Capital Thinking.
All right, welcome back. We are talking with Elaine Rogers, the president and CEO of USO Metro, along with my partners, Bob Kaler and General Mike Nardotti, about the great things the United Service Organization here in Metropolitan Washington does for our troops. Elaine, I know we were talking during the break that you wanted to add some comments to what General Nardotti was saying about the important role that volunteers play at the USO.
Yes, in straight out, if it weren't for volunteers, we would not have a USO anywhere in the world. They really are the backbone. When our troops walk into airport lounges or our hospital centers or anywhere, it's the volunteers who, from the community, who really are representing the American public. Because the USO is the only organization that's chartered by Congress to meet the needs of our military and their families. So we have the best volunteers in the world, and I'm sitting with two of them. And Bob Kaler has been on my board, believe it or not, for over 20 years. We were talking about that earlier, right, Bob?
I think that along the volunteer line, we now probably have about 65 members of our USO Metro board, and they're all volunteers. They all represent various companies that all provide substantial donations or time and effort to the USO. And having been a board member for those 20 years, we have quarterly meetings, and our attendance is probably in the 80 to 85% range of participants. So it's an organization that is well run. Everybody supports it, and a great deal has to do with our friend right here, Elaine Rogers.
Well, Elaine, let's talk about those volunteers that go abroad and serve so bravely for us in foreign theaters of war and then come home as wounded warriors. Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about these two new centers that you've opened, the USO Warrior and Family Center at Fort Belvoir, and the one that's been where ground has been broken at Bethesda, scheduled to open later next year by Walter Reed. Talk to us about what those centers will do for wounded warriors and what resources they'll have available to all of our troops, whether or not you're a wounded warrior.
Absolutely. These really are state-of-the-art centers, and we just didn't go in and say, okay, let's build some centers here. We spent a long time actually sitting down with the wounded warriors and their family members and outside organizations and the military and the medical staff on and on to figure out what it really was that they are going to need today and as we go down this path that we're on right now. And I am so proud of the center and the things that we're doing. Again, I mentioned earlier about linking with Best in Show, other organizations and the military. But it's things like we're doing out of these centers, we're going to do job fairs. And we do one with Higher Heroes. And we'll select 20 wounded warriors. We won't, the military does. Select 20 family members and wounded warriors to go through these job. It's a weeks-long course taught by wounded warriors. But at the end, when we're finished the course part, we then have a job fair. But you can't, as a corporation, come to the job fair unless you have an actual job that still fits the skill set of those wounded warriors, which I think is very, very important, because one of the roles that we think is paramount is really having wounded warriors and helping them reintegrate into the military again, as well as, you know, civilian life. And that's what these centers do. Like at Fort Belvoir, this is open to the military to come in, and then we have special programs, of course, for wounded warriors and their families. You might, like a Texas Hold'em, that can sound kind of a little trite, but it's an when you're playing cards, it's eye and hand coordination that you're doing. We do a lot of programs like that, that are a golf simulator, as an example. We have a state-of-the-art golf simulator. And if you're a golfer, I am telling you, you're going to go, oh, my gosh, the technology is unbelievable. And we're going to go worldwide and have a simulated golf tournament from Fort Belvoir with our wounded warriors going to other locations where there are golf simulators. But that kind of an exercise is, again, really helping the rehabilitation of that wounded warrior. We've just got so many programs in that kind of area, and we don't want to forget the family members either. So we have like a time for you where we'll take the spouses of the caregivers of the military, and we'll go to just a salon, a beauty salon, because they won't leave their loved ones, except, you know, we women have to get our hair done every now and then. So that's one way you can get someone away from caring for their loved ones just for a little time alone. The other part is, you know, as wounded warriors are coming home, in many cases, they've gone through some very traumatic things. So we're working with the chaplains and the military medical professionals, and we're going on couples retreats. We bring the corporate area, like a ski resort or whatever, that we can go on these outings with couples to really have some time, and then the experts the military brings in. We actually have an art therapist on board, and I'm learning more and more about the healing properties of these kinds of things. We just started a program, and it's Combat Paper. And General Nordati and Mr. Kaler, it's fascinating. It's where the military takes their uniforms, and they actually cut their old uniforms, cut them up, and then they make paper out of them. And we just had our first class at our new center, and the military medical professionals actually chose the 30 people, wounded, ill and injured, to participate in this class all week long. And then we had the graduation, and it was so moving, listening to them talk about what their therapy, the art therapy, meant to them and why they did what they do. So, again, this isn't a matter of the USO, you know, going in and creating programs, but we truly are linking with the right people to make sure that we're doing the right things. The first, our first official program, as an example, at the at Fort Belvoir was a Super Bowl party, and we actually did it in conjunction with the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs and he and his wife, and they brought their aides in and cooked. We cooked for 300 wounded, ill, and injured, and their caregivers, and then we went live to the Super Bowl where we were doing a program with Rolling Stone and, you know, piped that into the USO, you know, technology-wise. It was absolutely fantastic. We've had celebrity chefs come in. We're working as an example with the Surgeon Generals because what is one of their top priorities is the health.
Sure.
And so, you know, we can actually, we're having some chefs come in and we're teaching healthy cooking, a big thing in their recovery. And, you know, people, again, just don't think about the USO doing those kinds of things, and these centers really allow us to do that. Not to be forgotten is, of course, excursions, and we will take Wounded Warriors on all types of, as an example, Horses for Heroes, where we take the Wounded Warriors to a horse therapy place. And they actually are put on horses. Many of them have never been on a horse before. Or it could be adaptive skiing, or it could be fishing, or it could be skeet shooting. Whatever those therapies are, that's what the USO is involved in. And it's fabulous.
Let me, Elaine, let me turn back to General Nardotti, who, you know, was a combat veteran and knows what it's like to come home. And unfortunately, I don't think we were as accommodating of needs of our troops when they came back home back in those days as we are now. But, General, talk a little bit about how important it is for the families and the warriors to know they have these opportunities available to them.
Well, I think it's you've hit the nail on the head. That's, I think, one of the things I'm most grateful for is as the nation has learned that lesson, that they are able now to separate out their disagreement with policy, with how they deal with, how they view, those who serve. So that's a big positive, but just feeling that way and being grateful is not enough. You know, there are a lot of the things that Elaine has described, if they had been available to a lot of the generation of Vietnam veterans who came back severely wounded, that would have made an extraordinary difference. Now, and I would have to say, point this out, I think everybody's aware that because of the advances in medical technology on the battlefield, we have more people surviving with disabling injuries, and that in itself is going to be a much more of a challenge than what we've seen in the past. So these programs that address rehabilitation, the programs that deal with the family members who are going to be the caregivers, become just so important. And again, with the decline in resources, it's just going to be that much more important for organizations like the USO to pick up the slack. But it's an extraordinary morale booster. And even beyond what Elaine has described, the celebrity visits, you know, not to make too much of that, but they are very important. You know, some people would not really necessarily appreciate that when you bring in the World Wrestling Entertainment stars, the troops love those guys, and they just, you know, to have them come in and pay attention to them in the hospital, to spend a full day, and you see that with a number of prominent celebrities who come in, and they, whether they intended to stay a full day or not, they normally do, and they give extraordinary amounts of time. And there's great value in that. The people who have done that for the USO, don't get press for that. They don't come down accompanied by a press entourage. But having heard from them, having talked with some of them, you know that they're impacted and they affect other people. They are, in some respects, ambassadors for, the mission that the USO has to do in terms of how important it is and why we need to take as good care as possible of our troops.
Elaine, that's where we're going to have to wrap it up. Why don't you give folks the email, the web address and anything else you want to say in closing?
It's usometro.org, and I just wanted to say one last thing is that we're also concentrating on education because we feel that is so important and have companies coming in who are actually doing classes and through all of our audiovisual stuff able to do classes there. And as Mike said, we've had the likes of Tom Hanks, Angelina Jolie, Trace Adkins, and we have them every day here. And I just wanted to say thank you to you all for giving us some exposure here on what the USO is doing. We really, really appreciate it.
It's a tough competition for your charitable dollars and your charitable time, but you could do a lot worse than to be a strong supporter of usometro.org. So give them a visit. Give them your support. We'll be back in just a minute to talk about wounded warriors and their families, how they're coping here on the home front. Hear more on Capital Thinking in just a moment.
what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host. For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
What's your name worth? The loss of a single patent, trademark, or copyright can cost millions. Make sure your intellectual property is protected. Trust Patton Boggs to manage and protect your most important assets.
Edward Newberry, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Hola.
Konnichiwa.
Bonjour.
Hello.
From Anchorage to Abu Dhabi.
Marhaba.
From Denver to
Hello.
Doha.
Ciao.
Patton Boggs makes business transactions the world over.
Oi.
Rely on our insights for your next deal. Patton Boggs, the international business team. Straight, unfiltered, Patton Boggs.
Edward Newberry, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
The same firm that's been navigating the government maze for more than four decades is also the same firm that can help you protect your most important assets. Whether it's a valuable patent, an important copyright, or your next big idea, Patton Boggs is committed to protecting your intellectual property.
Edward Newberry, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Hey, out of my way!
Welcome to Washington Gridlock. Patton Boggs' legal team can make sense of it all. We know how Washington works. We've been sorting it out for the past 46 years. We have what it takes. Straight, unfiltered, Patton Boggs. We deliver the insights you need to stay on top of your game.
Edward Newberry, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Live from Washington, it's Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. Join us on the program and weigh in on the topics discussed with your question or comment. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also direct your questions or comments via email to koneill@pattonboggs.com. That's koneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at pattonboggs.com. Now, back to Capital Thinking.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the show. We're going to do something very special for the next half hour. We're going to spend some time talking about what one family has done to deal with one of their own, a son who was wounded in the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and talk a little bit about the challenges that our veterans face when they come home. Joining us, two very special guests. We have Bob Kaler, a partner of mine at Patton Boggs, who works pro bono on this project. And joining Bob is Joseph Bersino, who is the father of a fallen Army soldier. And we're going to talk a little bit more about his son, Jay, in this next segment. So, Bob, let me go ahead and introduce you and ask you to tell us a little bit about Joseph and Jay and what their family is dealing with.
Hi, Kevin. Good to talk with you. I started representing the Bersino family back in October of 2006. And by that time, Jay had come back to the United States after extensive wounds, suffered in a gunshot wound in the head in Baghdad. And by the time he came back, he was being treated. And I had the honor and the opportunity to meet Jay and work with his family. And I've enjoyed my relationships with them over these last several years. And I thought this would be a good opportunity to introduce the father and let Joe tell the story about Jay and what he and the family have gone through since they've Jay's return.
Well, Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit about your son, what he was doing on active duty, where he was, and how his injury occurred.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Bob. My son Jay, he was reservist in the Army with the Civil Affairs Unit. He was called to go to war in Iraq in March of 2003. He's only been there in Baghdad for about 3 months. And when he was shot in the back of his head by an Iraqi bystander, point blank.
Wow. Well, tell us a little bit about how he got off the battlefield, what the Army did to take care of him initially, you know, before he was able to get home to the United States.
It was about, I think it was June 26, 2003, when I received a phone call and that my son was injured and in Baghdad, and from Baghdad, he was transported to Kuwait, and then from Kuwait, he went to Landstuhl, Germany, and that's where all of us went to Germany to meet up with Jay, my wife, and my two other daughters, and that was the first time we've seen him since he went to Iraq, and there he spent about 5-6 days in Germany, and then he transported to Walter Reed, and he stayed in Walter Reed a month and a half, and then he went to Richmond, VA, Virginia, for rehab. And he stayed there maybe 3 or 4 months, and he was sent home.
Well, that it's a long road back to recovery, and I know what's very interesting about you is that in many respects it's an unexpected recovery, because Jay was you and your family were told that perhaps Jay's best days would be spent in some sort of nursing home, and you all made the difficult decision to bring him home and to treat his recovery there at home. So talk to us a little bit about your long-term hopes for Jay's prognosis. What's his current situation, and what are the next steps in his improvement?
When he was in VA Richmond, we were told that because of the severeness of his injuries, we were told that Jay was better off to go to a nursing home. And we fought hard. We told him that that Jay is not going to any nursing home. He's going home with us. And Richmond VA already called 3 nursing home and said, no, we will take him home, and that's where he belongs. He's our son, and we love our son unconditionally. And we fought very hard. And that was about 10 years ago now. And, let me go back when we were in Germany, when the first time we met him, the German doctor, an American doctor, told us that because of Jay's injury, they told us that we prepared for his service. He was not going to make it. But we told him that we'll take our son home and he's going to be okay. And that's about 10 years ago now. And currently, he's stable. He can answer simple questions, yes or no questions, by grimacing and smiling and such, simple question like that. And we can ask him what TV shows he would like to watch, or and he, you know, will mention several TV shows, and when he grimaces, he said that means no. When he smiles, it means yes, that he would like to watch the TV show and or listen to his music. We treat him like normal, like what he was before, but also we were told that he was blind. But we, you know, we treat him like he can see. And he's on a ventilator, life support machine. He cannot breathe on his own. And he's got a peg tube inserted in his stomach. That's where he takes his medications. He eats feeding formula, and that's where he drinks his water around the clock.
Well, let me ask you, talk to us a little bit about the assistance that you've received over the last decade from the Army and VA in caring for him after he came home.
Well, currently, for the last 9 years, his care was transferred to the Washington, D.C. VA, and we are very pleased and thankful for the support and service that provided to our son. DCVA send medical supplies, medicines, whatever Jace need to survive, and also, his doctors, he's got two doctors at the VA that follows his care. And if there's an issue, that we take him to Walter Reed. That's where he stays, Walter Reed, for treatment, because we believe that's where all the specialists for his neurological issue, abdominal issue, and spinal cord issue as well.
Well, let me ask you, we've got time for one more question before we take a commercial break here, Joe. Tell me a little bit more about your thoughts on what the federal government is doing or not doing in terms of wounded veterans and helping them care and transition back here in the United States.
For the last 9 years, the VA has done tremendous improvement for taking care of wounded warriors and family members, but it's not enough. Like, for example, for the house grant, VA is giving the veterans, I think, $65,000 to build a home, accessible home for wounded warrior. And in Northern Virginia, where we live, $65,000 doesn't go too far. But if you live in somewhere in North Dakota or South Dakota, it's a good money to buy a house, a new accessible house for a wounded warrior. I think the government needs to expand that program a little bit more, or give more money for the house grant where the veterans live. Let's say in Northern Virginia, they should give more money for the grant for the house, and that would be a big help for the veterans and family members as well. And also, I would like to see the government develop another program for the caregivers, especially for the parents like us. If you look at the VA's website, there are some benefits for the spouses and children of the wounded warriors, but you don't see any benefits or any entitlements for the parents like us. And we would like to see that. And, of course, for other parents and grandparents taking care of their loved ones.
Absolutely. That's very understandable. Well, we're going to take just a short break. We'll be back more to talk about this important issue of the federal government, what they can do for our wounded warriors, right after this commercial.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Interrogatories.
Prima facie.
Pleadings.
Motion for summary judgment.
E-discovery.
Affirmative defense.
Stipulations.
Ex parte.
Amicus brief.
Subpoena.
Litigation is confusing. Trust the litigation team at Patton Boggs to make sense of it all.
Edward Newberry, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
What's really going on in Washington? Listen as two of Washington's most experienced insiders, Howard Marlowe and Michael Willis, divulged the strategies of the key players affecting legislation and policy matters every week on The Inner Loop. Unlike most talk shows, which feature hosts that have little to no experience working with the federal government, The Inner Loop is hosted by two professionals who actively work to influence federal policy on a daily basis. The Inner Loop is heard live every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. From Washington, it's Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. Join us on the program and weigh in on the topics discussed with your question or comment. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also direct your questions or comments via email to koneill@pattonboggs.com. That's koneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at pattonboggs.com. Now, back to Capital Thinking.
All right, welcome back to Capital Thinking. We are having a very special conversation with Joseph Brasino, father of Jay Brasino Jr., who suffered a gunshot wound in the head while on tour in Baghdad in 2003. Joe and his family have brought Jay home after the Army suggested he go to a nursing home 10 years ago, and they've been caring for him at home ever since. And we're talking about what the federal government does and doesn't do for our wounded warriors this day, these days. It's a very important subject for all of us. We want to make sure that those warriors are taken care of for all they've done for our country. So, Joe, let me come back, and we were talking during the commercial break a little bit about all the things your family has had to do inside your house to accommodate Jay at home. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay. When Jay came home, we transformed our dining room area to his bedroom. It becomes his bedroom is just like a mini ICU / rehab. That's where he spent his evenings and his days. And in his room, that's where he his ventilator, that's where his oxygen tanks, and also his pulse ox machines that measures his oxygenation, because Jay cannot speak, he cannot talk, he cannot tell us if he's having trouble breathing. So the only way we can tell he's having trouble breathing is by the pulse ox machines, which is attached to his finger and around the clock. And if it's measured 90% or better, it means it's okay. If it's down to 90 and below, it means he's having trouble breathing, and we have to give him an extra oxygenation. And also his ventilator machine that tells us if there's a fluid buildup in his lungs, the alarm will go off. And since he cannot talk and he cannot tell us his feelings, and we have to suction, using the suction machine to remove the fluid out of his lungs.
So all of that is done by either you or your beautiful wife, Eva, or your two daughters. Tell us about the people and how many hours that you and Eva work taking care of Jay every day.
Yes, it's done by we care Jay around the clock, and that's me, my wife Eva, my two daughters Mallory and Sherilyn, and we take turns, especially at night when we don't have nurse taking care of Jay, and most of the time we don't have nurse taking care of Jay, and we just take turns at night, a couple hours sleep here and there, because Jay needs to be turned every 2 hours, and for giving all this care around the clock for almost 10 years now, Jay have never had a skin breakdown. He never had a bone structure that make his arms look like or his leg look like a pretzel. He is very limber, and any doctors or nurses that see him now, he says it's a tremendous care that we were providing him.
Excellent. I'm sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about the house and Kevin. They really have converted that house just into a mini emergency room. And one of the beautiful things that has happened most recently that I'd like to have Joe talk about is the tremendous gift that has been given by the organization called Helping a Hero in working with Azalea Charities. Joe, tell us a little bit about what's happening on the home front.
Yes. Last Thursday, February 28th, we had a groundbreaking event for Jay. This is where going to be his future home. About 3 years ago, we met a gentleman named Frank Lash and Kim Munoz of Quality of Life Foundation. And they ask us what they can do to help our family, and we told them we only have one wish for our son is to have an accessible home. And next thing we knew, they introduced us to Meredith Eiler. Meredith Eiler is the founder of Helping a Hero organization. And they worked together. They worked very hard to get the donors and to get donors for Jay's home. And this new home is a accessible home, and it's just making our wish come true for our son.
Oh, that's me. Go ahead, Bob.
The home is being the donation of the land's been acquired. The house is been specially designed to meet the needs for Jay and the family to move, to the emergency situations. And all of that and the building have all been being donated by really terrific people that are down in the Manassas area. And it's really a tribute to those excellent people trying to help Jay and Joe and even the entire family.
Yes, thank you, Bob. If I may add, for the last 10 years, Jay hasn't taken any a real bath. We give him bath 3 times a week, bed bath. We're carrying a pail back and forth to the kitchen sink to get water. But once this home get built, this is another quality of life that will add to his life, that he be able to take a bath in the bathroom. And it's oh my gosh, it's there's no word that we can express how our gratitude for all the people, for all the organization that they get together and donated the money to build this home for Jay.
That's outstanding. Well, tell us a little bit about the Wounded Hero Home Program that's being sponsored by HelpingAHero.org. If folks who want to get in contact and maybe support that organization and support this build, how do they do that, Joe?
The Helping a Hero organization is partnered with Azalea Charities. They are local here in Virginia, we believe, and they worked together to did a fundraising events to raise money for the home, and if we have people or organization that wish if they can help our son for his home, they may contact Azalea Charities, and I can give you all the information for that.
Go ahead and do that.
It's they have both Helping the Hero, Kevin, as well as Azalea Charities, both have excellent websites. And if the listeners would go to www.azaleacharities.org, there is a pull-down for the Pacino family where they can make contributions.
Great. Well, I want to ask one question. I think we've got time for just one more thing. Joe, I guess given all your family has done to serve your son since he's come home from these devastating injuries serving in our military abroad, tell me how that's changed your perspective about the United States military and our missions, you know, defending peace around the world.
Kevin, I am a retired Army myself. I'm a veteran, and my father served in the Army as well, and my grandfather, my uncles. I have one aunt and my two sisters. Now my cousins and Jay serve in the military, and I think my answer to that is if the military will allow me to join with my age right now, my weight, and I would never think twice to serve our country.
Great. Well, we are honored to have you, and it is a true testament to courage and sacrifice what you are doing, you and your family, for your son, given his injuries and all he did to dedicate himself to our freedom. That's going to do it for Capital Thinking this week. We hope everyone has a great weekend. We'll see you next week with another episode of Capital Thinking.
Thank you for joining us for Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. We hope to have you join us again for more insight from Washington. We're here every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Business Network.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.